Mark Collier for Thomas Matters Radio. We're going to do a year end today for Thomas Matters. I'm actually joined today by publisher, editor, extraordinaire of the River City News, Michael Monks. Michael, how are you?
I'm great, Mark. Good to be with you, buddy.
And you can actually hear some background noise here because we're at my home away from home, Fort Thomas Coffee, a Fort Thomas Matters advertiser. Michael, what did you have today to eat?
I had the turkey, egg, and cheese on a warm bagel and some coffee, and man, it was good. I'll be back.
Hit the spot?
Oh, every spot.
We're not going to go there. This is a PG-13 podcast,
I'm
Michael.
Used to Covington, brother. I'm sorry.
So, one Fort Thomas Matters advertiser to another. This podcast is sponsored by Omega Processing Solutions. Once again, another great partner with Fort Thomas Matters Radio. You can find them on Alexandria Pike and reach them 866-888-9724. That's 866-888-9724. If you're a small business owner and you want a better way to collect payments, whether it's credit cards or gift cards, anything like that, call my girl at Omega Processing, Betsy Downard. Scott Anderson, Todd McHugh, great partners with Fort Thomas Matters. We really do appreciate them. So again, what we're going to talk about today, Michael, is a year in review. Obviously, you've got one prepared on rcnky.com. Tell me about how you curated your list.
Well, I had a lot of fun doing this, so I will, a year's worth of content. We go through a lot of stuff, so you're talking 5 to 10 stories a day. That's thousands of pieces of content we got to go through. So what I do is I go through my analytics and take a look at the most read stories all the way from 1 to about 500. And from there, I pull out the most read stories. I pull out what I think were the biggest and most important stories. I pull out the biggest stories in historic preservation for a separate post. And then I pull out the stories that I think are the weirdest that we covered throughout the year. And that's
so,
usually
so which,
my favorite.
Which one of your, and we have Zach Wells. Zach Wells making a cameo on the podcast. And that's what happens when you do these live at Fort Thomas Coffee. It's popping in here. So which of those three lists do you think will do the best?
I think people always respond well to my weird list of some of the weirdest stories that we had in Covington and around Covington throughout the year. The historic preservation stuff, we do a lot of coverage of that. People love knowing about buildings that are being saved or buildings that are being torn down, so I think that'll perform well. And I'm sure that the most important story list will probably perform the worst of those three. Because people may be curious about what I decided arbitrarily on my own.
Do you feel powerful?
I feel very powerful when I say this was the most important story of the year. So I work alone mostly, so it's just me in there trying to figure that out. So yeah, when I tell you what the most important story is, you better believe it.
So give me a preview of what you think will be ultimately. You don't have to give me your number one, because I think most people will want to read your list.
I'm happy to share all of it. It's no big deal.
Just give me a few previews.
So some of the biggest stories of the year that I believe took place in and around Covington and across northern Kentucky. I put that the biggest story was the renaissance of downtown Covington. I mean, we've had a lot of stories, and you'll see throughout the list, but downtown Covington's renaissance is the story of the year, in my opinion. When you come to Madison Avenue, you see the Hotel Covington popping. You see the Hannaford popping in the renovated Mutual building. You see new bars like the Globe, where previously strip clubs operated. You see Braxton Brewing Company hopping. You see new retail establishments opening. You see old retail establishments reinvesting. You see ambitious placemaking projects like Parklets and the Look Here Project, which is a bunch of old photos posted throughout the town where you can see a perspective of the old view with the current view. I mean, there is an energy in downtown Covington that hasn't existed in a generation. So that's the story of the year in my mind. But some of the other big stories from the year that I ranked in the top 10 include, I mean, you can't overlook the fire in Rabbit Hash. You know, the general store fire was just a huge, huge loss for this region.
So sad.
Yeah, but
so
it's been good to see the community rally behind that and pull that back up. And Kenton County government buying the Bavarian Brewing Building. So you'll see that story on a couple lists, because obviously that's a historic preservation.
What do you think is going to happen there?
I think that they're going to save most of the front building. We'll probably see some light demolition of some parts. It's a massive building. I've been through it. It's huge, but it's gorgeous. Ultimately, what I think it does is present an opportunity because it's the type of building that a real city deserves to have as its government headquarters. So it's bigger than Kenton County. And maybe the city of Covington joins them there. But I think it's right to really get down and dirty in the conversation about a metro government.
So let me kind of transition a little bit from specific stories that were big on River City News to how you think in 2016 the media landscape changed. We saw an introduction by Facebook Live. I think that was a big innovation.
Facebook Live changed my life.
Well, what are you known as now?
I'm known as Goat Boy.
Explain that.
Okay, so my first time using Facebook Live, it was just supposed to be a very simple broadcast of the parade, the running of the goats in Covington, where the goats that reside in the summertime in Goble Park, which is the park near I-75 where the clock tower is, the iconic clock tower, they were going to parade them from the Roebling Bridge to the park because they were so popular in their first year. So this is their second year. Instead of a very quiet parade, which, by the way, drew about 3,000 people downtown to watch seven goats walk in the street, the goats took off running. So my simple broadcast became a live report for over an hour as these goats were wrangled all the way to DeVue Park. So huge.
So you, I think when I first, and Facebook Live is cool because I think Facebook is really pushing it. So they're super competitive. They're trying to push Periscope and Twitter out of that sphere. So I picked it up. I got a notification. Michael Monks is now live. And I picked it up, and you were, the goats had already escaped.
Yeah.
You were crawling through the woods.
Yes.
Pick it up from there.
So what was cool about it was I could be in the woods broadcasting with my phone the real intimate search for these goats. Now, some of the TV stations were here just for the, this was a Saturday, it was Derby Day. And, you know, you shoot a lot of stuff like this for the TV broadcast. It's what happens on the weekends. They didn't expect it to turn into a true news event, which it did. It got international attention, is what ended up happening. But they couldn't go up with their equipment. I could with my little phone, and I was the only news source that was broadcasting live the entire time. What this has done, it's created a platform where a small operation like mine or yours can go head-to-head with any other media company that would broadcast live with our phones. We don't need a satellite truck. We don't need any of that. I've used it several times, and it always does really, really well. I've seen you do it. You're really good at it.
Well,
the bank robbery, or the pizza stabbing.
The pizza stabbing.
And then the bank robbery.
And the bank robbery.
I mean, people share that all over the place.
I think it's probably because Facebook's algorithm, promotes it.
Well, they're emphasizing the video.
Yep, they want it big. It makes sense for them. They're a data company more than anything else, and they want data.
Yeah. And they're competing against every other website now. Whatever any other website does, Facebook is trying to do it, whether if it's photo sharing, video sharing, marketplace, blogging. They want to be your source for all of it.
So
they're the Walmart of the internet.
Let me tie a bow on that goat story. The last thing that I remember is that you're literally tracking this. There were like two rogue goats that weren't caught.
Yeah.
And you tracked them to this lady's backyard.
Yeah, so the next morning I received a tip that the last two goats that were still missing the day before had been found. They were in someone's yard and that a rescue operation was underway. So I rushed back to the scene because I had seen the data at this point on how well the first video did, so you know I'm all over it. So I mean, I look a fright, but I rushed over and broadcast the rescue of the last two goats, and this was it was the same amount of viewers as the day before. Everyone was so committed to this story and found a relationship with me in telling this story. It was a really cool weekend. It was a true Covington weekend because this was. This only would have happened in Covington, and it only could have been told by me. So Facebook Live brought all of those things together and created them. You know, I was talking to someone just the other day. I said, "This, you know, I don't want to obviously diminish the importance of historic events like the Kennedy assassination or the attacks on 9/11, but those types of events where you know where you were, people always have a story about where they were when these things happened. People have that story about the goats.
Sure.
They share it with me. This is where I was. And I got when I started watching, we were all watching it at this restaurant, or we were all in the park watching.
What else? What else other than Facebook Live do you think has changed in the media landscape? Maybe that you've seen personally in terms of growth on River City News. How are you doing things differently you know, January 1, 2016 to December 31st, 2016.
Well, you know how this is. I mean, the way Facebook's a very important distribution method for our platforms. You know, it's made us instantly accessible to a lot of people. I think 10 years ago, prior to the mass use of Facebook, we wouldn't have been able to compete as we do today. We would have had a lot more work ahead of us in order to get our audience. But Facebook changed its algorithm again and sort of punished people like you and me. They want to focus more on our personal friends and family and see that kind of content. They've shoved us out of the news feed in a lot of respect. So I've had to work extra hard to make sure that the content I'm publishing on that type of platform is something that people will interact with and that they will share.
Or care about.
They have to care about it, they have to comment on it, and they have to share it. The share has become very important. So you want the type of content that people are going to share. They'll share videos, they'll share pictures. The links are harder to get out there. So that's been a challenge.
And I'll say this about the algorithm change. And we talked about this when they first reported it. You know, I feel like you and I have a great relationship. As probably as good a relationship in the media space as you can have. So we bounce ideas off of one another. We ask each other, you know, how are you doing with this? And when that came out, my first question was to you. And I said, you know, is this going to hurt us? And I think our consensus was that it could. But here's where I think it actually kind of has helped. There are some, you know, the buzzword fake news is out. And fake news, the way I look at it, is are pages that create nothing. They'll curate. They want to, you know, have an image of being a news source or you know, a legitimate place to get your information from. But really all they do is steal.
Yeah, they do.
They put clickbaity type pictures or videos up. And I've got a few, you've got a few that you deal with in that space. But I think the algorithm change has hurt them more than it's hurt us.
Oh, absolutely.
And not only done that, it's kind of delineated a line and showed people are now getting savvier about what is real news, which is what you and I create in-house every single day.
Yeah.
And what these other outlets are doing is simply stealing, and people are catching on to that.
Our reputations are going to sustain us through this very difficult transition because people have learned to trust us. You know, I mean, we're not immune from mistakes, but when we make a mistake, what keeps your relationship strong is that you own the mistake, you apologize for the mistake, and you vow to be better about it. Some of these pages are deliberately dishonest. Some of the pages are deliberately misleading, and some of them deliberately push information that is designed to hurt people. So,
including us,
especially us, sometimes, you know, there's certainly some fake news pages on Facebook that call themselves Covington News or Kenton County News or Campbell County News or Newport KY News, all run by the same monster who doesn't even live in this region. I mean, he's a horrible human being. Most recently, he shared a story about the suicide of a teenager at Holmes High School. In the media, we tend to stay away from suicide stories.
Unless it's like somebody newsworthy. That's public,
right.
you stay off of it.
That's exactly right. So this gets out there, and because it's salacious and sad, it's getting tons of shares. And this jerk shared it across all of his awful Facebook pages and was getting hundreds and hundreds of shares. So an email was sent to the media that I got from Covington Schools that was from the father of this child asking the media to respect their privacy and to not report. You know, the Covington News page was implying that this kid had been bullied and that's why he killed himself. And there was no evidence to back this up. And the district was asking all of us in the media not to report this. And I wrote them back and said, I don't see this anywhere in the media. I see it on this fake news Facebook page. And you should contact him. Whether they did or not, I don't know. But I know that he never took it down. So whether he was contacted, you know, that says a lot about the people behind those types of pages. That it's really not about the difference between us and them. Is we want clicks. We're running businesses here. I need you to read my stuff. But more importantly, we want to have a positive impact on the community. They don't.
Well, and I think, you know, I can't speak to Covington News or Campbell County News like you can.
Oh, sure you can.
I could. I've got one, too, and I don't want to mention her because she's an awful human being.
Sure.
I don't want to give her
any more. I like how bitter we're being today.
Yeah, you know, it's time to reflect.
It is time to reflect.
And it's also time to kind of, you know, step out a little bit more so than maybe we have in the fact. And just take these types of people head on. And I'll say this, whether it's that person or the person that I'm talking about, and I know you're listening, you're probably my biggest fan.
Yes, of course.
You don't see them out in the public like you see us. Because it goes back to what you just said. We're invested. They're not.
That's right. And that's why we've been able to compete. That's why we've instantly changed the game in local media. That's why larger media outlets, whether they be the TV stations or the large daily newspaper in town, we are often held in higher esteem by the players in the community.
And we will not go away.
We're not going away.
And your presence is only helping us.
Yes, right.
Since, I'll give you my example, just apples to apples comparison on our Facebook page. Since this fake news page that I'm referring to has cropped up, my Facebook likes have more than doubled.
Oh, yeah.
And it's because people can understand the difference between you and I.
Yeah. And you haven't had to create a whole bunch of pages and add up all your numbers and say you have a bunch of combined likes and therefore you're the most read, you know, like this lunatic who runs the Covington News page.
And neither of these people have engagement.
Nobody's clicking on their stuff. So, I mean, I don't even worry about them the way that I used to. It's mostly just sad, and you have to keep tabs on it in case they're shooting their mouths off about you. But outside of that, I mean, they're not a threat.
Yeah. Well, anything else? What do we have in store for River City News?
Man, I'm looking forward to 17. I think we should look ahead to what we think are some important conversations that are coming up. You'll find on my top 10 biggest stories of the year is that the region still doesn't have a needle exchange. I put that in the top 10, and I think that's a huge story. And it's Campbell County that's holding us up. We know Boone County's not going to play. Kenton County and Covington are ready, and Campbell County government is ready. But either Newport or Fort Thomas, somebody's going to have to bite the bullet and get this thing up and running. That's going to be a big story. The other big story I'm looking forward to talking about is the trail system that's developing along the riverfront and the Licking River. The Licking River Greenway and Trails is in disarray right now. I think there's an opportunity for the governments to finally come together and figure out what Northern Kentucky as a region looks like in terms of having a trail system. I don't think the rank-and-file Northern Kentuckian understands the importance of this type of lifestyle amenity and the impact it can have on economic development is I'm trying to learn, and that's a conversation I look forward to facilitating.
Michael, are you and I going to partner on some things coming up?
I'm going to be on your ass like you won't believe, Mark Collier. We're going to have a great time together. I think there's big things ahead for both of us, and often in tandem.
Well, Michael Monks, publisher, editor, owner of River City News. You can find him on rcnky.com. Where else can we find you?
You can find me on Facebook at the River City News and on Twitter at the RC News.
Do you want followers on your personal Twitter account?
You can find me at Mike, M-I-C, Monks, M-O-N-K-S, Media. At Mike Monks Media.
And that's one of my favorite follows. Make sure you do that. Michael, thanks for being on Fort Thomas Matters Radio.
So that was Michael Monks, editor, publisher, owner of the River City News. You can find him at rcnky.com. He's actually a really, really good friend, too. So we certainly appreciate Michael and Michael's perspective on Fort Thomas Matters Radio podcast. Again, sponsored by Omega Processing Solutions. And this is probably a good time to introduce one of our newest podcast sponsors, and that is Jamie Anna Insurance Services. Jamie Anna is a Campbell County resident. She has her office at 1136 South Fort Thomas Avenue, right across the street from Fort Thomas Animal Hospital, right next to Pet Wants Fort Thomas and Dirty Harry's. Jamie Anna is somebody that I know well. She's advertised with me for a long time on Fort Thomas Matters. She's a genuine person. I know that Jamie's got her client's best interests at heart. Why? Because as a Campbell County resident, she's your friend, your family, and your neighbor. So even if that means telling you to keep your current coverage, she does what's best for you. Her mission is to put your mind at ease and allowing her clients to recover from surprises life throws at them. To discover how easy she makes insurance, call Jamie Anna Insurance Services today. That number, write it down, 859-441-0310. I'm going to say it again, 859-441-0310. That's Jamie Anna Insurance Services. So we talked about, this is the second part of the podcast, and I've got to be honest, and probably a lot of people are thinking this same type of thing. The last week of the year between Christmas and New Year's is tough. Not a lot of work gets done, and you might have been able to kind of see that on Fort Thomas Matters. I kind of took a break a little bit. There are no days off on Fort Thomas Matters, and every single day we're putting out new content. We're creating new content. We want the clicks to kind of go up and build our readership every single day. But I don't really know what day it is between, I got to be honest, between the Christmas and New Year's. I wake up. I might put one or two or three stories up. There was a day this week, which I think was the first time in about 4 years where I actually did not respond to one text, email. I did no posting on FortThomasMatters.com. I did nothing. So, that was a couple days ago. And, hopefully everybody is getting some rest and relaxation as well. But what I want to do now is kind of go over the biggest stories of the year. And before I do that, I want to kind of tell two stories, and I don't want to put specifics on it, but it'll give a little bit of insight as to what I do every day. I come across stories every single day, and everybody's got a good one. And that's what makes my job so fun, is I got to tell those stories, and stories that might not otherwise ever get told. We do things on a hyper local scale in Northern Kentucky and Fort Thomas in general. But two stories that might give you that I will always take from 2016. So we do a lot of economic development stories. That's always a very popular post on Fort Thomas Matters. And there was a business that sold this year, sold to a new owner from out of town, had a lot of hype around it. And, you know, I did a lot of stories on it and of the ribbon cutting and the grand opening and the business owner's plans to revamp the business. And I had a few emails floated to me, and lo and behold, this business owner who had just done a ribbon cutting in Fort Thomas about a month prior was already trying to resell the business. So that was strange to me. I immediately went to this business owner who I had formed an okay relationship with off the bat. And, you know, I always try to do my due diligence. I wanted to first see if it was true. Was this person already trying to sell their business that they just acquired a month ago? Or, you know, was there something to it? A lot of times I get stuff like that and there's nothing to it. So I go there and I show this business owner, you know, is this true? This is what I've seen. It was a real estate posting that was supposed to be confidential, that the agent didn't do a very good job of making it confidential. So I show it to this person, and I mean, all the color flushed from their face. They were obviously, it was news that off put them, because the media is coming in and this could be a big story. It could be pretty embarrassing for this person, and that's never my intent is to do that. But if there was going to be a change in ownership, I certainly wanted to tell this story. So color goes away from their face. They take a few steps back, and we are in their store, and it's just me and the business owner, and I think there's one other employee in there at the time. She takes a few steps back and just bites it. Faints. Literally faints. And I don't know if it was just she was overcome with, oh my gosh, the media has this story and it's going to be embarrassing for me, or, you know, the media has the story and, you know, she didn't know me that well at that point. We had only, you know, known each other for about a month, but she fainted, and I didn't know what to do. So I immediately call the employee over, ask for help. I cradle the back of their head. I'm getting ready to call the police, 911, first responders. And I'm snapping at her, telling her, wake up. Are you okay? Do you need me to call, you know, paramedics? And it wasn't that. She snapped out of it right away, got her something to drink, some sugar in her, and she sat up. And you know, those are one of those stories that I'll never, ever get told. I'll never tell the specifics of it because, you know, it ended up not being a totally newsworthy thing. And I'm not out to embarrass anybody. So that's one of those things that, you know, I sit on. And I have a million of those. I'm going to give you one more example. And this was actually one of our top six or seven stories in terms of clicks. There was a missing person, and we broke it first. It was region coverage. I think 5/9/12/19. The local newspaper affiliate picked it up as well. But we had it first. We published it. We were helping police get the word out that there was a missing person in Campbell County. I was in contact with this person's best friend and this person's brother. At the time, they had called me. They wanted to do some clarification on the story, and they were searching for him at that time when they were talking to me. They were on the banks of the Ohio River looking for this person, and I'm talking to the best friend. He hands the phone over to me to talk to the brother of the person that's missing. And about 15 seconds later, it was a scream. It was a blood curdling scream. They came across his body, his dead body. And, you know, as a journalist, as a human, I mean, how do you react to that? It was something I'll never forget. There was nothing I could possibly say at that moment. It was just emotion. And that's one of those stories that I'll always carry with me. Certainly not a pleasant one, but, you know, I think we helped get some closure to that family. Obviously a sad story there, but those are kind of two of the examples of stories that really never get told, never need to get told. Specifics of both of those stories will never really ever need to come out, and they won't. But what I want to talk about now are some of our biggest stories of the year. And I saw we do this from time to time. We do this every year around the last of the year. And what I've always done in the past is just look through Google Analytics and determine, you know, we publish about 1,000 stories a year, determine which stories got clicked on the most. But as Michael Monks and I talked about on the first part of the podcast, that doesn't always tell the story anymore. There are a lot of different social media channels. For Time This Matters, for example, has, of course, the website. We have our satellite website, ftmsports.com. We have For Time Is Living magazine, which is print, a monthly print. We have our Facebook page, our Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, YouTube, WCPO. We've got strategic partnerships with them. We're forming more right now as well. And because we've got so many of those channels, the Google Analytics and the clicks don't always tell the story. So what I tried to do is go through all of those channels that we post on and come up with and figure out which stories were the biggest. And I picked seven because we've been around for, I think, 7 years now where we've taken this thing seriously. So I'm going to start with number seven, the biggest story of the year, the biggest stories of the year. And that was the Campbell County missing person that went missing. Always a sad story. We're not going to get too much into specifics there, but that was a sad story. We were on the cusp of telling that. And not a good thing. The next kind of stories that we did, it was a conglomerate. January through November, we did, and I'm proud of this, we did the biggest coverage that Fort Thomas City Council, the council race, has ever gotten, has ever seen. We covered 9 candidates. We did op-eds. We hosted debates. I see Shayna Crowley just got on. We're not as good as your dad, Pat, Shayna, but we're trying. We put things in print. We put things in. We did a podcast with every one of them. We did different types of podcasts with all of them. And one of my main goals when I started out to do that was I wanted ballot position. I wanted that not to matter. And what I mean when I say that, generally in Fort Thomas, because we haven't in the past had this type of coverage on Fort Thomas City Council, ballot position meant a lot, meaning that if you were number one on the ballot, which is randomly drawn, you're likely going to get on 1 through 6. Generally, that's a lot of how people voted. They put a check mark next to the first 6 names that they saw. So that was one of my goals when we started the coverage that we did, which I'm very, very proud of. And we absolutely blew ballot position away. The council members that were number 2 and 3 on the position, actually, it was 2, 3, and 4. They didn't win. Conversely, ballot position 9 won, ballot position 8 won, and I think those were the main ones, but we blew that away. And of course, that's a conglomerate. That's the 6th biggest story of the year. August 23rd, we broke the story that Don Pablo's was closing. I thought it would do well. It did insanely well. I mean, a lot of people must have really, really liked Don Pablo's. I hadn't gone in 10 years, but I think that was, you know, one of the first big restaurants to come down to the riverfront in Bellevue, and that did really well for us. A lot of local media affiliates picked up our story on that, so that did really well. June 17th, I thought this story would do a lot better in terms of clicks, and it's one of those things that I talked about at the beginning where Google Analytics and our clicks on our website don't necessarily tell a complete story of how well the story actually did. And that was the stabbing that happened on South Fort Thomas Avenue in front of Fort Thomas Pizza, where 2 lifelong friends, one was working at Fort Thomas Pizza, the other, I don't know, I think he was just passing by. One stabbed the other, and he died right in the middle of the road. Now, you would think that would be 1, 2, or 3. The reason I don't think it was because I chose to cover that story. I chose to go on Facebook Live to cover it initially. I got to the scene very, very quick. I got a text message from a tip on my tip line, and so I got over there very, very fast. I got there before any other local news affiliate did. I beat them by about an hour. I got there and actually interviewed some of the witnesses before they talked to law enforcement officers. Now, funny story, the prosecutors are having to deal with this issue specifically because of Facebook Live and because of local journalists like me. They were able to broadcast things right away. It's not always a good thing to, have a journalist interview a witness to something before law enforcement. Now, in this case, it really didn't matter because the witnesses gave the same testimony to me on Facebook Live that they did to the law enforcement officer. So it really didn't matter that much. But that was, I think, Facebook Live, and Michael and I talked about this earlier. We sometimes, because of the algorithm of Facebook, giving that type of precedence to Facebook Live, we sometimes are known by our biggest Facebook Live event. For me, this was it. It was the Fort Thomas stabbing, and I don't want to say murder. I think he was actually charged with manslaughter, and that trial is ongoing right now. So he's still alleged at this point. But that was a big story. That was June 17th. Another big story, which kind of was a jokey type thing, but it really did happen. It was the clown coverage around Halloween. This was actually October 3rd. There were some clown sightings in Fort Thomas. I think the real story behind it was that it was a kid, maybe a teenage kid, that was scaring his brother and his brother's friends. I think it was around Military Parkway. So ended up not being a huge deal, but it kind of caught that national trend and we just hit it at the right time. That was a big story for us as well. Another one, and I'm going to kind of lump all these together, the closures of some big businesses, well-known businesses, and also the rebranding of some businesses. So you had the closures of Arnie's on the Levee. You had the closures of Dick's Last Resort and 15 North. We broke two of those. We broke the Arnie's on the Levee and 15 North closing in Fort Thomas. The Dick's Last Resort, I think WCPO, our media partner, got that first. And we kind of aggregated from there. But those were big stories for us. And then in Bellevue, the rebranding of Pasquale's was a big story. That rebranded as Fessler's Legendary Steaks and Hoagies. That is owned by, I don't want to say their names because I'm going to get it wrong. I don't want to do that. But it's the Fesslers. They live in town in Fort Thomas. So that was a big story for us. That's stories 7 through 2. Our biggest story of the year occurred on November the 14th, which is actually my wedding anniversary with my bride. That was the escaped prisoner that left, started police on a high-speed chase through Dayton, Kentucky, crashed his vehicle in Dayton, was getting ready to be booked in the Campbell County Detention Center, and they did not book him because he had, I think, a little scratch on his face. He was taken to St. Elizabeth Hospital. We did some follow-up stories on this as well. So what happened was he had one arm handcuffed to the bed, and there is an officer, I think it was a Dayton police officer, it was not Fort Thomas police, that had him in custody, and somehow he wiggled out and escaped through a back door. They think he went up through the backwoods of the back part of St. Elizabeth, went up Gaddis or Deschler, which is right off of Highland Avenue there, made his way down to US 27 and up to the Fort Thomas Plaza. And that's where he went to Michael Tire. He went into the bathroom, cleaned up a little bit, waited for the worker to leave from his desk. And when he did that, stole some keys from the back, started clicking, and got lucky, found a car, drove to Frankfurt. He escaped there again from a BW3s there. And then the next day, they ended up catching him in, I think, Versailles. So that was our biggest story of the day. And subsequently, we had a really big day that day because there was also a bank robbery that day in Fort Thomas at the U.S. Bank. I get picked on sometimes because I was doing a Facebook Live video that day. That's where I chose to put that channel, and I kept calling it U.S. Bank Arena. So I'm sorry, U.S. Bank Arena. That was just a mistake. I have no formal training in broadcast journalism, so I do my best. So those were the seven biggest stories. We also did a series of podcasts, again, sponsor Omega Processing Solutions. Our two biggest podcasts were sandwiched between January 8th and November the 22nd. January the 8th was our biggest podcast to date, and that picked up. That got picked up nationally. I think we had around, when it was all said and done, about 40,000 downloads, which is good for us. That was a podcast that I did with Anjanette Levy. She's with Local 12. She was, at the time, a reporter in Green Bay, Wisconsin. And so we talked about what it was like covering the Stephen Avery trial. Stephen Avery, of course, is the guy he's still in jail. But they made a Netflix documentary about him and his first wrongful conviction and subsequent being let out of prison. And his nephew is now back in the news because he might actually get a pardon and a pass. So that was our biggest one. And then November the 22nd, we had an exclusive interview with Governor Matt Bevin. I was on November the 21st, I was actually working to get the December edition of Fort Thomas Living out. And when I do that, I generally lock in. I don't take calls. I don't take texts And I kept getting number calls from Frankfurt. And I wasn't paying attention to them because I wanted to get the magazine done. I finally got to a stopping point and listened to my voicemails, and it was Governor Bevin's office extending an invitation to do an exclusive one-on-one, which you never turn down. So I got about 12 minutes with the governor one-on-one. We met at Hotel Covington in the newly renovated Hotel Covington. It was kind of a weird setup. The Hotel Covington employee took me up to, I think it's the top floor, and I didn't really know what to expect when I opened the door, and there was nobody in there. So I just kind of waited for a period of time, got myself acclimated to the room. The view was very, very nice, by the way. And if you haven't been to Coppin's, which is the restaurant at Hotel Covington, please go. And they're not even an advertiser. We had a good interview. It made its way throughout the state, got picked up by some larger entities, some new newspaper entities that quoted the article a few times. So that was good as well. I want to skip over to our YouTube channel, which was our biggest videos of the year there. And you can subscribe to that. You can subscribe to our podcast wherever you listen to podcasts, on Podbean or iTunes or Google Play. But our biggest YouTube videos all kind of had to do with marriage proposals. There was a marriage proposal at the pub that we published on, actually it was New Year's Day, 2016. The video was like 5 or 6 years old. It was surveillance video. My good friend, Michael Arnzen, who is part owner of the pub, gave it to me and said, see what you can find out. And I think we posted the video and posted the article, and literally like within 2 hours, we had our lead. We knew who they were, and luckily they were still happily married. So that was a good story. Another surprise proposal video that we got taken at the 4th of July Day Parade in Fort Thomas this year. That was a good one as well. So those were two of our biggest videos that we did on our YouTube channel. And then our biggest video, which I didn't even put on FortThomasMatters.com because it was kind of out of my realm. So I gave it to my buddy Michael Monks, who does RCNKY, River City News. It was a silly story about an alleged, I don't know that he was, but the person that took the video said it was a Walmart employee that was arrested at the Fort Wright Walmart and made a big scene. And that Michael did a little story on that. He ended up, he got arrested. I can't remember what the charges were, but that ended up being our biggest video of the year. That got 35,000 views on YouTube. YouTube views are, if you don't know, are harder to come by than Facebook. To qualify as a view on YouTube, I believe you have to watch it for like 30 seconds. So it's not as easy. It's easier to get those views on Facebook. So let me recap for you real fast. Biggest stories. Police looking for escaped prisoner. Man dies. Man charged in stabbing. That was at Fort Thomas Pizza. Don Pablo's closing. The whole gambit of Fort Thomas City Council coverage that we did. The clown sightings. Campbell County man missing. Arnie's on the Levee closes. Pasquale's in Bellevue. Rebrands, 15 North closes, and Governor Bevin interview, as well as Anjanette Levy interview. What I take from all of that is that we've kind of spread our tentacles a little bit. You can see a lot of those articles don't necessarily have to do with just Fort Thomas. We started this as a super hyper local kind of a deal where we were just covering Fort Thomas, but inevitably you kind of grow, and we have, and it's because of our readers. It's because of our listeners. We've grown and we've become a larger source for things outside of the community and really almost statewide. I've really enjoyed the growth. I can promise you we're going to continue to grow. So sum it all up, 2017, we got some big things. I don't want to get too much into it, but we have some deals cooking, and I appreciate you staying with us. I appreciate you engaging with us. We never ask you for money. I likely never will, but here people ask me all the time, you know, how do you make money? I make money by having community partners, business partners that support us. So how do you help me? You support our businesses that support us. I'm a big proponent of shop local. Even if they're not an advertiser of mine, I prefer you to shop local in Fort Thomas in Northern Kentucky versus, you know, buying something online that's not going to help somebody here versus driving over to the river that's not going to help somebody here. Buying from a big box store that's going to help a corporation and not a small local business owner. So how do you help Fort Thomas Matters? You support the businesses that support us. How else do you help us? If you don't have a lot of money, I'll tell you what doesn't cost anything is to engage on our stories on our social media pages. When we post something on Facebook, if you like it, if you don't like it, if you have a comment, if you agree or you disagree, engage on it, share it. That is how you pay us back. We put a lot of time and a lot of hours, and I don't do it by myself. There's no way that I could. It's a lot of our contributors, our advertisers, our a lot of our support. It's definitely not just me, but to recap, support our advertisers that support us. Tell them that you're supporting them because they are supporting us so that they renew their advertising contracts. And engage on our stories. The third thing I'll ask you, and this is going to be a big theme for me through 2016, and Michael and I, Michael Monks and I from the River City News, we talked about this on the first part of the podcast. The delineation between news outlets like us and fake news is growing more and more every day. There are a few fake news sites in Fort Thomas that has nothing but bad intentions in terms of, you know, they want nothing more than to hurt Fort Thomas Matters. And it's very clear and evident. And I'm not going to give them a platform and tell, you know, run my mouth and say who it is or, you know, whatever. The coverage speaks for itself. And I would just say, be intentional about who you follow, who you engage with on Facebook or Twitter or YouTube or Snapchat or whatever. There are some not good people out there that have bad intentions, and I'll just leave it at that. So, thank you so much for a great 2016. Looking forward to an awesome 2017. A lot of big things in store. We have some really good stories that I'm sitting on as well. I haven't gotten a lot of work done this week because I want to relax a little bit, but hopefully we'll get this podcast up. And if you want to hear the whole thing, you can, of course, listen to it on FortThomasMatters.podbean, that's podbean.com. Or you can subscribe to us on iTunes is usually the easiest place, or on your phone. There's a podcast app that you can just search Fort Thomas Matters, hit subscribe, and if you rate us, that really, really helps. So for our two sponsors today for this podcast, Omega Processing Solutions and Jamie Anna Insurance Services, please go and support them, and we'll see you next time. Thanks. So we just finished up the Facebook Live. That'll stay there for a minute. My wife just texted me and said, you should thank the writers. And I thought that I did, but in case I didn't, I did this once before on Fort Thomas Living. But my contributing writers, that is Jessica Duke, Kara Yule, Chuck Keller, Stephanie Klass, Colin Moore, Michelle Wright, Jen Cole, Jen Summer, and G. Michael Graham. You all are my Ambassadors of Quan. If you're a Jerry Maguire fan, you just got that reference. If you're not, look it up. Google is a very handy site. Again, for Omega Processing Solutions and Jamie Anna Insurance Services, this is Mark Collier for Thomas Matters Radio.